Time to talk a little Super Bowl as we head on out to the Mall of America once again and say hello to our friend Mike Giardi of NBC Sports Boston. Mike, what's going on?
The mall is a zoo. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. There are swarms of people who have descended on the Mall of America here in Minnesota, so you'll hear the background noise. Yeah. They're everywhere.
I heard that the hordes have descended, and now even Radio Row is crowded with people everywhere looking for the Shake Shack.
Yeah, the Shake Shack and looking for Gary Tangway, Maine's own Gary Tangway.
Maine's own Gary Tangway, who we found out the other day, just happened to notice that the Channel 6 crew was there from Portland and decided to go over and offered to be interviewed in his home state.
You know, he is such a publicity hound. It's a little bit embarrassing, you know, at this point for Gary. It's pretty well established, you know.
Well, absolutely.
Really do that.
Well, let's talk about the game this weekend, and let's start with the news about Rob Gronkowski. He's been cleared, but as you wrote, say what they want about whether it was a clean hit or not. Those are the kind of hits that just really can't be avoided, and everybody seems to understand that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Patriot fans obviously lost their mind after the hit, and you understand in the heat of the moment. But then, you know, you get flooded with these comments about how it was intentional and he was a headhunter and he should be, you know, suspended, thrown out of the game, what have you. And, you know, you talk to the players on both sides this week from the Eagles and from the Patriots, and, you know, Devin McCourty and Daron Armour are two of the most well-respected guys around the league. And they're like, look, I mean, you try to do it the right way. We're taught not to lead with the head. He's like, but he went in with the shoulder and Gronk moves. Then all of a sudden it's head to head. There's, you know, it's one of those things. You can't really necessarily avoid it. Malcolm Jenkins, I thought, had a good point too. He said, like, I think you guys give us more credit than we deserve for being the athletes that we are. He's like, when I make a decision to go hit somebody and then all of a sudden his body changes, I can't change my body like that too very often. So the next thing you know, you have a situation like that, which is unfortunate. Nobody wants him to get hurt, but Gary Church wasn't, in my opinion, he definitely wasn't head on.
Well, having a healthy Gronk is key. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. But, Mike, who else has to play well offensively for the Patriots?
I really look at that offensive line, particularly, well, really all of them, because I think that front four from the Eagles is fantastic, and they run about seven or eight guys at you too, so it's not just the one crew. It's not just that starter. Their subs are pretty good too, and they try to keep those guys fresh for the full 60. So I really think there's a heavy onus on the offensive line. Look, just give Tom enough time. You know, if you give him enough time, he's going to find the openings and he's going to make plays, and that's to me, when you've seen the Patriots struggle at times, it's because Brady gets hit, Brady gets unsettled, and that's sort of the way, and, you know, the tried and true blueprint over the last 10 years or so to beat the Patriots.
We're talking with Mike Giardi, NBC Sports Boston. Offensively, you wrote about this run-pass option that the Eagles have, and it does create some challenges. They've moved fairly seamlessly from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles, and it requires a level of discipline on the part of those Patriots defenders.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this run-pass option thing, which is, a lot of people refer to as a sort of a college offer, but it's not. And this will be the third week in a row that they've, or third game in a row that they've seen people rely heavily on this. And it's, you know, it's sort of a simple concept. You call two plays in the huddle, you come out, you know, Nick Foles is going to read one guy or read one part of the defensive look and make a decision and the call based on that. But if you don't, and they say it a million times, and we always kind of roll our eyes, but if you don't do the job, that's when you can be caught out of position. You can't overcompensate for someone else. Just play what you're supposed to play, read your key, and then, you know, either you're in the place to make the play or you're allowed to, you know, react after that point the play is made and make sure it's not a big play.
Who's the most important Patriots defensive player in this game?
Boy, that's a good one because I think the Eagles can really sort of stretch you out in so many different ways. I kind of look at the Patriots, and I guess it's not one, but I just sort of put that linebacker level in the same group because I think they're the people that are really going to be challenged. They're the people that the Eagles are trying to get into that RPO blender, if you will, run-pass option blender, and make them make that false move and that one mistake to open up that seam and that gap to keep the drive going or maybe hit a big play. And to me, those guys are Landon Roberts and Kyle Noy in particular, be really disciplined and play really smart football. Otherwise, could end up being a long day.
Could there be concern over what appears to be at least a physical mismatch between the Eagles wide receivers and the Patriots secondary?
you know, I mean, this is clearly what they brought Stephon Gilmore here for, you know, more of a big physical type corner to play against a big physical receiver like this year. Doesn't run, you know, he's not running a 4-4 anymore in this point in his career, but you got to do hand-to-hand combat with him. He'll box you out. He's got sort of, in some ways, he's almost like a move tight end, you know, bigger, wider, and maybe not as fast. I look at some of the other matchups, you know, where they're going to challenge someone like Eric, I don't think he's been playing particularly well over the last couple of games, and Malcolm Butler's sort of had a roller coaster of a season. And, you know, I think you're hoping that, in particular, Malcolm finds the big game form that we've seen year after year, it seems, from him.
What's different about this team from past Patriots Super Bowl teams?
Well, I guess I'll just start with the fact that the way the season began was unlike really anything we've seen from a Belichick team, at least from the defensive side of the ball. Maybe dating back to his first year here. I mean, that was a mess. They were giving up over 30 points a game, miscommunication. You know what? You're going to have play breakdowns from time to time. No one's perfect, but they were having, you know, multiple big play breakdowns over the course of the game. And you just wondered, like, hey, these are essentially the same group of guys in the secondary. How's that happening? And when you start to see the erosion of talent up front with the injuries and losing someone like Hightower again, so you say, how are they going to manage to make this work? But, you know, true to form, they just worked harder. So they studied a little bit longer, and guys did exactly what they were told to do. You know, let's eliminate plays. Just play smart, play heads-up football. Let's, you know, tackle when we're in the open field. Let's not allow these big plays. And when the team gets inside the 20, you know, then we can throw some wrinkles at them that, you know, maybe they haven't seen, or maybe for them to get the ball out a little early, and instead of getting 7, you're getting 3. And that's really, to me, a real tribute to them, and they're just intuitiveness on defense to make, you know, clearly vast improvements from where they were in September and early October to where they are now with the fifth best scoring defense in the National Football League.
This team has been able to ignore distractions that would have derailed a lot of other teams. And I saw Bob Kraft's comment about tension, acknowledging tension. But there's a clear difference, and I think the Patriots have shown this, between tension and dysfunction. And as they have proven, one doesn't necessarily lead to the other.
Well, I think, you know, look, we were sort of talking about some of the things that ended up in that big ESPN article. We've been talking about them during the course of the year. There are clear things that existed and we sort of reported on, and then, you know, that ESPN put it in this big thing with the premise, is this the end? You know, are the tensions and the egos what's going to cause the end? And I don't think you can have, you know, arguably the best owner in the National Football League and the best quarterback maybe ever and the best coach maybe ever and not points over the course of a 17-year relationship that they aren't going to butt heads and they aren't going to, you know, clash a little bit. I think that's just natural. The thing that I think people lose sight of, and we've had the privilege of, you know, covering it for the last 17, 18 years, is all that stuff is wonderful for people to talk about, and the radio is wonderful, but, you know, it makes for great talk radio stuff. They don't really, when it comes down to practice, it comes down to meeting times, it comes down to playing the game, all that stuff just gets thrown on the back burner, you know, maybe in the closet. You know, it's just not something they think about, because all those guys, and really, you know, sort of the way they built their roster, they understand the importance of each day, and they understand the importance of that Sunday. And you don't necessarily love the guy that you're playing next to or love the guy you're playing for, but on Sunday, everybody's trying to win. And that's a message that is carried over from the top down to the bottom.
If they add another Lombardi trophy this weekend, does this one mean a little bit more because of the understanding that it's the last go-round for this current coaching staff?
I think so. I think the coaching staff is extremely close, and you know, obviously they've been together for some time. Josh left the nest, and he's come back and owns more. I do think that there's certainly a part of that. That they feel that they don't want to acknowledge it this week. In fact, we're joking. And you talked to Patricia, you talked to McDaniel, you talked to some of the assistants, and they're like speculation about who's going where, like rumors about who's going where. I think I said at one point to Chad, I was like, Chad, you can tell me it's speculation, but Josh is going to be the head coach in Indianapolis. It's been reported. Everybody knows that is going to be the head coach in Detroit. We all know this. And all we can do right now is concentrate on the Eagles. They're a really good football team. And I think they'll reflect on it when it's all said and done. And I think it'll be emotional when it's all said and done, especially, as you said, they win, but really one way or the other, because it's a group that's been together for a long time, and you're spending 16, 18, 20 hours a day for six straight months with guys. So they get on your nerves at times, but there's got to be a lot of love there, and that was
Mike Girardi, NBC Sports Boston, getting ready for Super Bowl 52 this Sunday. Mike, we appreciate you making time this very busy Friday afternoon. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Rich, always my favorite. I enjoy talking to you guys up there in Maine, and I'll tell Tangway that you said hello.
Yeah, please do that. Thank you much. 17 minutes after 5 o'clock here on Downtown as we cover the Super Bowl. Like nobody else going to do it, for crying out loud. It is a